Well, good morning, Your Honors. If it pleases the Court, James Dawson on behalf of the appellant, and I hope my brief is correct. It looks like it may be 12-point type, but to that extent, I apologize. I'm going to try to keep this as 14 is better for me, too.
It's also if you sort of want to have a comment that it's South Sudanese type.
Yes.
And I think that rules are specified. So you do allow stuff. And what does stuff look like? Other stuff.
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor.
That's because he's worried about publication, that's all.
I see.
Oh, no, I'm worried about this, too. I think it is a
Thank you. I appreciate the generous allotment of time today. This case is... Might even put it in the bank here. I appreciate that. Let me.
As long as it's the same panel, you know, we'll honor that.
I'll follow you to the end of the earth if I can do that. Thank you. This case is, as the court knows, and has been thoroughly and certainly well briefed by counsel.
You've had your shares of ups and downs in this case.
Well, we have indeed. It's been something of a roller coaster.
One, and then the Supreme Court comes out with Hamid.
Hamid, that is correct. And
then the Supreme Court changed his mind. And here we are. The narrow question we have is how did they get past Hamid?
I'm going to do my level best at this point to articulate how we do that.
Please.
In reading Hamid, it gives a number of examples as to what is not advertising, because as the court knows, Hamid said, well, advertising in California for purposes of construing an advertising injury claim is what advertising means in general, which is widespread dissemination to the public. It doesn't mean one-on-one conversations. It doesn't mean taking information from customer lists. There's a whole series of things it doesn't mean. But the court in Hamid also gave some examples as to what advertising could be, and that's where I'd like to start my discussion today, because we know what it isn't. But the question is, what is advertising in the context of a, I'm going to call it a small business, but not General Motors, not Intel, a smaller entity. And Hamid gave some examples.
Well, it has to be in the context of how the policy was written.
That is correct. And the court in Hamid is very, very clear that the definition of advertising is unrelated to the nature of the business. Big, small, doesn't make any difference. There's uniformity. That's necessary. Everybody will know what is covered, what is not. That is correct. That's right. And in Hamid, the court did give an example of what advertising can be, and I'm going to try to make a point here consistent with Judge Kaczynski's question to me a moment ago, and that is what is advertising in our case? And I won't say small business, big business. What is advertising? And that is it could be spots on the radio or television. Could be the company buying space on billboards or bus benches, taking out advertisements in newspapers. Fairly makes sense to me. That makes perfect sense in.
Let me see if I can get.
Yes.
Just the reason.
Yes.
We look at the complaint.
We do.
In the underlying case, right?
Yes.
And the complaint in the underlying case never uses the word advertise.
That is correct. Or widespread promotional activities. It doesn't use that word.
We are agreed on that.
Yes.
So what we need to do in order for you to win, or what you need to persuade us is the case, is there's something in the conduct alleged in the underlying suit, even if it's only a little bit, even if it's only a small part of what's alleged, that fairly falls within the definition of advertising as the Supreme Court of California has construed that term in Hami.
That is correct.
Okay. So it would help me a lot if you could just focus in on which part of the complaint and which of the allegations in that complaint we're talking about.
Yes.
And then try to map it onto the concept of advertising as Hami. If you do that, it would be.
Yes, let me do that. As the complaint is in the excerpts of the record 42 through, it's a long complaint. I'd say it starts at page 42 in the appellant's excerpts excerpt of the records and goes through. All right. And
if you could just tell me which language,
will do.
Which concept, and I realize complaints are sometimes prolix. So you're not limited to one thing.
Yeah, and let me
just tell me what it is in the.
I will. Well, let me let me say that the first four causes of action have the same language in them, even though they're cast as breach of contract.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
If you can find one thing, it's enough, right?
Here we go.
All you have to find is one thing that's covered.
Right. Go to, if the court would, to this paragraph 13, which commences on.
Before the complaint.
Page 6, but go if the court would to page the next page, which is the excerpt of the record 48, page 7 of the complaint, commencing at page 7 of the complaint, 48 in the excerpt of the record, paragraph 13. We're still in paragraph 13A, and the complaint alleges that Mr. Hayward. While he was still working at the other company at NSYNC, made an agreement with the new company, the Andreessen people, that he would bring confidential information belonging to NSYNC to the defendants, meaning Andreessen and Hayward, presumably, including, and then it goes on to a number of things he's alleged to have done. Let me say parenthetically, he didn't do any of this, any of it, ever. But he's alleged to have done it, and I think that's where our analysis.
Do you think I care? What would you do
about it?
It doesn't make any difference.
Good.
It doesn't make any difference.
That's what I'd hope you say. Thank you. I don't have to argue. All right. He doesn't have to prove that okay. Now. He is alleged to have taken with him marketing plans, business plans, and strategies.
If you would tell me the line you're reading from.
Okay. This is page 7, ER 48,
yes.
Lines 5 through 10.
Okay. I'm with you.
All right. Now.
And that he, Hayward, would bring over confidential information.
That includes marketing plans, business plans, and strategies. Then we go to the next page.
Page 49?
Right.
Okay.
And this is subsection D, commencing at line 11 and ending at line 16. And Hayward is accused of soliciting customers, presumably existing customers, of NSYNC, and we know that that's not advertising. We know it's not. Or potential customers of NSYNC. He's accused of soliciting potential customers. After having brought marketing plans, business plans, and strategies, then he solicits potential customers. And that is, in our view, broad enough to assert a claim for advertising. And the reason we're not talking about customer lists, we're not talking about a group of people in the trade, we're talking about soliciting potential customers based upon marketing plans, strategic plans, strategies, and business plans. Now, it doesn't say he advertised. It doesn't say that he took whatever the information was in the advertising offense, the misappropriation of ideas, whatever he was supposed to have taken, and put it in on the billboards. It doesn't say that. But we believe that a fair reading is he's accused of taking marketing plans and he solicits potential customers. The word that we base our appeal on is the word potential. Because I submit to you that anyone in the public could be a potential customer. Could be. Now, in the context of this case, as the court knows, after reading the text of that we've just gone through, and it goes.
I thought the context of advertising as explicated by the Supreme Court of California is sort of broad justification, just being a
yes.
So that it is not so much who is directed at. I mean, presumably you could advertise to a single person. I mean, let's say, just to give an example, let's say you buy a billboard on your sweetheart's way to work saying Ted loves Mary or something like that. Well, you know, it's a billboard. It's seen by everybody, but it's, and, you know, we've all seen, oh, you know, it's kind of somebody about to get a skywriter to say, Bill loves Mary or something. I mean, that's directed at one person, and one would say that's advertising. So it's not the question of who the target is so much as the method, I thought, is what the distinction drawn by Hamidi.
I think it's actually both. But I think that the beginning of the analysis in Hamid is you can't advertise three or four people based upon taking a customer list or something like that. The definition.
But you might.
Well, you might be, but not for purposes of advertising.
You might. I mean, let's say those three people. I mean, let's say those three really big customers that are very important to you. And you might very well sort of figure out, three billboards, or perhaps figure out, this one is a big football player, a football watcher, so I'll buy an ad on the football game. Directly this one person, seen by a million other people. But I don't really care about the million others because, but it's going to be directed at this one. But the ad method is advertising, which is different from solicitation, which is buttonholing or calling on the telephone or sending a individually addressed letter or a fax or something that is a one-on-one type communication. I thought that's the distinction we were drawing.
Well, I believe that if in Hamid there is a discussion by the California Supreme Court of one or two cases as an illustration of what advertising is not, that is fairly close to what you just suggested, a very small target audience, simply because the nature of the business is such that their services will be restricted to that small target audience. And my reading of Hamid is that's not good enough for purposes of the definition of advertising and an advertising injury insurance claim. Let me say.
Is there anything in the complaint that requires communication by the employee that is left?
That requires communication?
Requires communication.
No, there is an allegation in the complaint that said the employee took the marketing plans and whatnot and then solicited. No. It says, with all due respect, Judge, if you go back to the text, and again, it's always difficult to parse the text of a complaint that you disagree with, but it says that he, Mr. Hayward, solicited potential customers. That's what it says. And going back to Judge Kaczynski's point of a moment ago, he used the S word, solicitation. And if you read Hamid carefully, and there was a case after Hamid that says that the California Supreme Court distinguish advertising on the one hand from solicitation on the other hand. We disagree that that's what the California Supreme Court is doing. If you read Hamid, all of the examples of the type of activity that is not covered under an advertising injury claim is one-to-one communication, small group communication, things like that. We believe that the word solicitation, if you go to Webster's and just look it up, 1996 Merriam-Webster's, to attempt to persuade a person to purchase something. It doesn't limit it to one-to-one or anything else. And what we're suggesting here is that the word solicitation of potential customers in the context of what Mr. Hayward was supposed to have done would reasonably lead an insurer to say, well, there is a potential for liability under the advertising injury clause of the policy. And let me suggest another way to look at it, if I may. And that is, if this sequence of events hadn't occurred, in this case, gone to trial, would the pleadings framed the way they are? We believe that the plaintiff in the underlying case, NSYNC, could have brought in witnesses to state that Mr. Hayward had gone out, taken information from the marketing plans and whatnot, and used that to develop, to solicit potential customers to fashion an advertising program. And we believe that that evidence would have been admissible under the pleadings as they are, and he could have been liable for it. That's the standard that we're talking about.
Are you basically saying that the underlying complaint is ambiguous? You don't know whether it's group solicitation or one-on-one solicitation? Is that your position?
Well, I don't think that it's a model of clarity. What I am saying is that I'm not here to critique that. What I'm here to say is a way of looking at the test in California, which is an insurer owes a duty of defense if the underlying complaint, without any investigation, which is what we have here, discloses
the
potential for coverage. And what I'm suggesting here is one way to look at that is would evidence of advertising as defined by Hamid, would that have been admissible in this proceeding with the allegations as they're framed? And we suggest that it would have been. The word solicitation is broader, we believe, than the word advertising. We believe that advertising is a type of solicitation. We believe that one-on-one solicitation is, you know, it's qualified. All of the language in the cases that we found that say solicitation is not covered qualifies that and puts it into a certain one-on-one or limited context. And the teaching of Hamid, we believe, is that advertising, in order to be covered, in order to meet the first step, you have to show that advertising is for widespread promotional activities directed to the public at large. And without that, you don't state a claim. We believe that a fair reading of the complaint states that claim, and I'll reserve the rest of my time, if I may.
So if it had just said solicitation of customers, that would have been too narrow because there wasn't a public address.
We would be here. Thank you.
Good morning, may it please the Court. I'm Gary Selvin. I represent Centennial. I think the last point is perhaps the most significant. Counsel's conceded if you have solicitation of actual customers that it is insufficient to trigger a duty to defend because you have no potential for coverage. I think that is indistinguishable from the solicitation, using the word that is in the complaint, of potential customers. It denotes the same conduct which under Hamid and Romby does not trigger a duty to defend. The mere fact that it is a different equal class of individuals, that is, one-on-one solicitations of people from whom you hope to get business as opposed to those from whom you already have business, simply does not get them close to the hurdle of the definition in.
Well, but the point they make is that when you're targeting existing customers, you're not targeting the public at large. It is a specific group that is identified, whereas the world of potential customers is quite large, and these individuals are not identified. The way to, at least one way to try to figure out who they are and get them to bring their business is to advertise one way to solicit their business is to advertise to a much larger group and then have them identify themselves by, you know, responding to the advertising or the solicitation, self-identifying by you know, doing what customers do when they respond positively to advertising, either go buy the product or call the 800 number or call the go to the website or call the representative or whatever. And you know, that has some force.
And the infirmity in that position is simply starting with the California Supreme Court's definition of advertising. And what you've done is you've given two different illustrations. One is, how do I entice potential customers? I can do it by soliciting them. I can do it by putting a widespread advertising promotional campaign together, appealing to the public at large with a notation at the bottom, please see my website at selvinwraith.com. Those are two distinctly different activities. Hamid says, in fact, that advertising and solicitation are mutually exclusive terms. I, in fact, may want to represent insurance companies other than Centennial and may want to embark on a campaign to solicit their business. If I embark on that campaign of soliciting their business in the same manner as I would solicit my own customers, I would call on them, I would show up on their doorstep and hand them cards, I would take them to breakfast, I would do things that are under the reading in Hamid.
Where in Hamid do you see that the California Supreme Court says these are mutually exclusive?
Well, it's in Romby, quoting Hamid.
Well, okay, then it's not in Hamid, right? We'll let differ for Romby, but answer my question. Where Hamid is?
Well, I'll take the point side of page 24 from the Romby decision.
I have pages in the 700s. I have
You've got a Pacific Third site as opposed to the California Supreme Court reporter. And I will make the nexus for you because it's in the official reporter. It's got the P second page. We have it in the excerpts of record. Page 337 would be the page on which you would find your P3rd site, which would be about 765, if I'm estimating right. But again, the California Appellate Court, following Hamid, has made that proclamation that advertising and solicitation.
Well, nevertheless, I would like to know where in Hamid this is. I am looking at page 765.
Let's see. Page 766 would equate to page 24 of the Cal 4th citation. If you'd give me a moment, let me see if I can point you to the particular point on the P3rd site.
This is a day for practice points. One thing to remember is to always have, when things are reported in different reporters and you're going to be questioned about cases, to always have versions of all of these ready with pages marked. That's what you have associates for.
actually, and I anticipated the court would use the Cal Third site. My apologies. I didn't realize that.
Well, but you see, anticipating California that we'd use one particular form is wrong. You know, there are about six of them now. Okay. That's a mistake. That's why you're ticking away your clock now trying to find where. But I really am interested exactly where in Hamid you are talking to, so you're going to have to take the time to tell me.
Let me put you to...
You have like a paragraph
in the
that starts with certain words?
That's, I'm going to direct the court, and I'm going to do it in a roundabout way because my
is
clock
there
is...
Footnote?
If you look...
A footnote or something is attached to the text?
If you look at the paragraph that starts in select design...
Yeah, I have it here. In select design, super, 165...
Correct.
From 169. Okay.
All right.
I've got it.
Following that case, the court says... Thus, the court held the solicitation of the customers, the competitors' customers, did not constitute advertising. And the reason I bring that up, I can't point the court.
I don't see where it says that.
Last line of that paragraph.
Oh, so it's quite a bit after the quote.
Are you?
It's quite a bit after the select design site.
It's at the bottom of that paragraph.
Okay. Thus, the court held. The solicitation of a competitor's customers does not constitute advertising under the CGL insurance policy.
And the reason I point to that is that's precisely what is alleged here by NSYNC.
Well, but what the court is doing there is describing what the Vermont Supreme Court did in the select design.
True, and following it. The significance of that is, the Judge Kaczynski, you asked, if it is the solicitation of non-customers, can't that place it within the scope of advertising injury? And the answer from the Hamid case is obviously no. They're following the exact same analysis and applying it. The mere fact that you're soliciting your competitor's customers, which is what was occurring here, is still solicitation rather than advertising.
Well, so it says here, the Vermont Supreme Court states, the majority of you defined advertising as widespread distribution of promotional materials to include the public at large, particularly because the majority have read the policy provisions according to their plain, ordinary meaning. The court reasoned that defining advertising to include customer solicitations was stretched too far.
Right. Now going to page 7.
Now, that customer solicitations sounds to me like it's there being used as like you are actually calling on particular customers.
You are soliciting business as opposed to doing what Hamid and Random House Webster's Dictionary cited at footnote 7 says, which is, it is widespread promotional activity directed to the public at large. It is the act or practice of calling to public attention one's product, service, need, etc., especially by paid announcements in newspapers and magazines, over radio or television, on billboards, etc. And if you look at, I've got your Pacific Third site, page 768 at the top of the page, recent decisions interpreting California law also apply the majority definition of advertising, noting that individual solicitations are not advertising.
Well, no, it says individual solicitations are not advertising. But saying that the individual solicitations allows for the possibility that you might have solicitations that are not individual.
And where that would violate California laws, that you're not allowed to speculate about what could have happened or might have happened outside of the four corners of the complaint, and that you can certainly use extrinsic evidence if there were.
I certainly wouldn't want to violate California law, but what I'm doing here is reading a Supreme Court opinion, and I am interpreting what it says, and what I see is it does is it uses the word individual to modify solicitations, which to me means that the court believes that the two words are not redundant, that you could have individual solicitations and yet you could have solicitations to a non-individual.
But the Hamid decision also says that soliciting to small groups of people doesn't qualify because it does not meet the definition of advertising that they and, indeed, the majority.
Well, certainly that's possible. So if you solicit to a small group of people, maybe that's not advertising. But if you solicit a large group, it may be perfectly fine.
It's not the size of the group, as you commented earlier when counsel was here. It is the scope of the anticipated promotion.
You're going to use my word against me?
If I may.
It's really a very poor strategy. I ask all sorts of questions.
When Your Honor was addressing the question, well, if you had Joe Loves Mary in skywriting, couldn't that qualify as advertising material? And the answer is no, because it's not just the scope of the group. The entire definition has to be considered. And the entire definition is that you have to have widespread publication.
So if you so love your wife that you buy a 30-second spot on the Super Bowl and you hire an advertising agency to do a great expense to do advertising about what a great person she is and run it in the middle of the Super Bowl to be seen by 6 million, 16 million, I don't know. I don't watch the Super Bowl, but I understand that's the premier place to advertise. And you run this thing to say what a great person she is and how you hope she would marry you once again. You know, the mushy kind of stuff men do sometimes. You think that would not be good as advertising?
The answer is it depends. If I put in the sky Joe Loves Mary with no attribution for who it is or advertising whose services they are, I am not putting
any old Joe, any old man.
Sure. But the point is, if I'm Joe and I'm having written in the sky something about Joe Loves Mary, you have to look at the definition. It is to promote my goods, products, or services. That is the definition required both in the policy and in Hamid. Judge Beezer brought that up.
Let me try to get past this. You know, isn't it possible to target a small group of people without contacting them directly using the means of advertising? Let's say, for example, you think, gee, there are only 6 or 7 companies out there that, you know, I'm a consultant, or, you know, whatever, and there are really only 6 or 7 companies in this industry. And of that, there are a handful of individuals who have the power to give me the business. And there are a couple of ways I could approach them. One way would be to call them up by phone and try to take them to lunch. Another way is to advertise in the channels that they watch in a way that will be seen by many people who are irrelevant, totally irrelevant, but those 5 or 6 people that I really care about will also see it. Now, you saying that would not be advertising?
Well, you've given 2 discrete examples. One, am I broadcasting to the public at large with the intent that everybody's going to see it, but most prominently the people I want to view this are going to be large customers or potential customers? Then the fact is, of course, it's advertising because I am directing it to the public at large by a medium.
Why is it solicitation by your definition? You are targeting a small, distinct group of people. You're not trying to get at anybody else. You know that most people watching that football game have not the power or the ability to help you or will not in any way influence the decision. There's really only a very small number of people, but you happen to know that they're devout football fans and they will watch that game. So in order to get their attention, you spend lavishly on advertising, essentially wasting the eyeballs of all those millions of others who will see the ad, just to get to those 5 or 6 individuals.
And perhaps you've given a better illustration than I can. You've used the word advertising. You've provided the medium, which is, I'm putting it on the Super Bowl. I'm putting it on TV in a national campaign. That's advertising.
Why is that solicitation?
It's not
a solicitation.
It's not, because it's broadcast to the public at large. and bring it back into something that is germane to the duty to defend. In this case, there's nothing in the complaint that remotely speaks of or suggests that Tom Hayward was engaging in any advertising activity. There's no suggestion that he was advertising his goods, products, or services. What we have is a gentleman who took with him customer lists and other things, just as in Hamid, and used them for the purpose that he was trying to develop his relationships with existing clients.
But we don't look at that. What we look at is what he was charged with doing and what he had to defend against. And we look at the face of the complaint to determine what it is that was his potential exposure.
And, of course, the starting point is the face of the complaint. You also may, under California law, under the Montrose decision, rely upon extrinsic evidence to determine whether or not there are facts outside of the complaint that could potentially put it within coverage. And if we look at the complaint itself, we don't see any of the three elements that we need in order to trigger a duty to defend. We don't see a misappropriation of advertising ideas or style of doing business that is promoting his goods, products, or service. We don't see any advertising. And equally importantly, we don't see a nexus between the two. We have no description of any use of advertising and a link to the damages that have been potentially sustained or allegedly sustained.
You were going to cite a Rambi, or what do you want to
mention? The 11th
Circuit. I'm sorry,
no,
I didn't.
No, Rambi is the Cal case.
Correct.
And you were going to tell us about Rambi.
Well, you'd ask where does Hamid say that they are mutually exclusive, and I would point to the very first sentence in the opinion by Justice Behnke in which it says, in Hamid, the court considered the scope of the term advertising as it is used in a standard commercial general liability insurance policy. The court found that advertising and solicitation are mutually exclusive terms. That's the California Court of Appeal. Very first sentence summarizing its view of California law on the heels of the Hamid decision. I would also suggest that the attempt to navigate around Hamid seeks to take one word, potential, but ignore the phrase itself. The phrase itself is soliciting customers and potential customers. The act is the solicitation of individuals as opposed to something to the public at large. There is nothing in the complaint, and I've certainly scoured it. I know that opposing counsel has, to see is there anything more than the limited one-on-one or extraordinarily small group solicitation that Hamid tells us, that We Do tells us, that Rambi tells us doesn't meet the test under the California state of the law and indeed the majority view for advertising. And you are absolutely correct. In the abstract, if I put on a media campaign in the Super Bowl, that is advertising. If I bring someone to the Super Bowl, I use my tickets, and I sit up there in the box, and I talk to him, again, with the design to get his business as a potential customer. That's not advertising, because there is nothing about widespread dissemination of information and promotional material to the public at large. And that, indeed, is what is required under Hamid.
Would your position be different if the underlying complaint said marketing instead of soliciting?
No, and it's because it still has to speak to advertising as opposed to marketing. If you look at the insurance policy itself, the insurance policy says misappropriation of advertising ideas. And a marketing campaign, indeed, if there is the taking of marketing materials, again, under the three-pronged test that Bank of the West and Hamid give us, you have to have misappropriation of advertising ideas. A marketing campaign need not be an advertising idea. Indeed, perhaps that would trigger a duty to do further investigation to determine what it means, but on the bare face of the complaint, if that phrase were substituted, it wouldn't change the outcome. Secondly, you would have to have a link, a nexus between the damages claimed by the plaintiff and the defendant. So if you had, they took our marketing folder, for example. Does it get over the threshold of advertising ideas? Does it establish a nexus between damages and the taking of the marketing materials? And if you were to take the bare clause that you inserted, marketing materials, it probably wouldn't. Moreover, Mr. Hayward is the only appellant in this case, and there was no suggestion that he was advertising his goods, products, or services, or that he was doing any advertising. Indeed, it was his employer who elected not to appeal who was doing those things. He simply did what a lot of employees do these days. He opened up the briefcase, he stuffed in what he could, closed the briefcase, and went to the new company that had been attempting to hire him. So none of the three prongs have been satisfied on the face of the complaint, and indeed inserting the term marketing materials wouldn't change that outcome.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I discovered that language in Romby last night when I was preparing for today, and of course I was concerned about it, so I tried in my own mind to figure out what the court was meant, citing to Hamid, stating that the Hamid court says there's a difference between solicitation on the one hand and advertising on the other, and the best I have been able to...
Well, it says more than that. It says a mutually exclusive category.
That's right, in Romby. And, of course, I, anticipating this argument, I said, well, may I maybe miss something here, and I should not proceed. But I don't believe that that's what Hamid says. The closest that I've been able to find it in Hamid is right...
It is what Romby says, though.
No question about it. And I believe that the court in Romby...
It would certainly be very useful all around if we didn't disagree with Romby, wouldn't it?
Did or did not?
Did not.
Well, it's not good for us. I will grant you that. But my understanding is this is what the California Supreme Court would do, you know, that this court is going to be make that determination. But let me or anticipate what the California Supreme Court would do with this. But let me suggest, if I may, the best that I've been able to do is to look at Romby and, again, go through, and it gets back to the word solicitation. And each time that the word solicitation is used as something that is not within the scope of advertising injury, it has a qualifier to it, or it's in the context of what we're talking about, a small group, one-on-one, the types of things that we know are probably not going to trigger this type of coverage. Our suggestion, and I believe that in Romby, they're using solicitation now in this context to indicate one-on-one solicitation or small group or something like that. I don't believe that a fair reading of Hamid would indicate that the word solicitation now has evolved into a word of art or something in this context that excludes advertising injury coverage. Indeed, I think that the word solicitation in the context of what we're discussing, going back to when the insurer looked at this complaint, and that's all the insurer did, and saw marketing plans and strategy and whatnot, and then saw soliciting potential customers. Did the insurer then say, well, that's got to be one-on-one or something? I don't think so. I think solicitation, as I said earlier, is broader than advertising. I believe that is a fair reading of the complaint. As I indicated earlier, we believe that this would trigger liability. Thank you very much.
We're out of time. I think we understand your position.
Thank you.
Cases are your stance a minute.